Welcome to the Women's Fitness and Health Revolution podcast. There is so much noise on the interweb these days about what women should and shouldn't be doing when it comes to their fitness and health. Not only is it all too often tied to shame and fixing our bodies, it can also be incredibly detrimental to our health and wellness overall. The Women's Fitness and Health Revolution podcast sorts through the BS and offers advice and actionable, tactile steps to support and build a better relationship to your amazing body through every stage of womanhood. It aims to break the cycle of keeping women in the dark about their extraordinary machines and revolutionize the way we move, eat, and live so that our daughters and our daughters' daughters look in the mirror and feel exactly what they are: fierce, beautiful, and capable of everything. The revolution starts here. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Women's Fitness and Health Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Kinsey, and I am all sorts of excited for today. But before we dive into our pod, which, as I mentioned, totally pumped for, just a couple of life updates, right? This is fun. So Margot and I have officially booked a venue for our wedding. Can I get a yeehaw? And I am all sorts of tickled about it. It's super cute spot in Asheville, North Carolina, which I haven't been to, but I have been told that I would love it. And from everything I see, I agree. It's got this sweet little outdoor venue and it's in a Junebug RV campsite. So it pretty much ticks all of our boxes vibe-wise, which is chill and outdoorsy and so much fun. Plus, it has hammocks that hang over a creek. So I don't know, maybe we'll just live there afterwards. It's fine. So I'm feeling especially grateful because TBH, I definitely underestimated what planning a wedding takes, as in I didn't even think about how much time it would take to research it. So to all of you out there who have planned and successfully undergone a wedding, I salute you because it's not a part-time job, but totally, totally, totally worth it in the long run. So yay! Also, speaking of exciting, I'm getting my first mammogram next week. And I don't know, maybe on another pod that would be a little TMI, but this one is all about taking care of our amazing body, yada yadas, for forever. And while lifestyle in my book plays the biggest role, screenings and annual checkups and blood work are important ways of making sure that we are, what we're doing on the outside, I should say, is translating to the inside. So stay tuned. I hear mammograms have gotten slightly more sophisticated than just smashing our boobs, but I'll know soon enough. Wish me luck. Okay. Anyway, enough about all that. How fun, how fun. Let's talk about today's super exciting topic. I ran a poll on Instagram last week asking, just for funsie, who cycle tracked when they trained, as in menstrual cycle, and it was all across the board. I got a lot of responses. Really fun. Really, just like I said, all across the board. A lot of yays, a lot of nays, a lot of what are you talking about? And that, I will say, I asked because I've seen it a lot. It's been a hot, hot topic on the gram as of late, at least in my sphere of the Instagram. But you know what? This absolutely thrills me. The fact that we are talking about both women training differently than men and our periods in public. I mean, this is seriously the kind of progress that gives me so much hope that we are finally starting to take women's health seriously and treat it as it should be treated, completely separately from men. Our bodies are just too dang different to be treated and to train and to feed according to studies that focus solely on men and usually generally younger white men and healthy. So right off the bat, ye freaking ha, way to go. Dr. Stacey Sims really knocked it out of the book, or knocked out of the book, out of the park, whatever. She knocked it out of all the things when she coined, "Women are not small men." Sure, there are definitely some things that are similar about our bodies because we are all humans, but the fact that our bodies as ovulating humans are literally designed to create, grow, and sustain the life of another human, and men's aren't, that, I don't know, it's kind of a no-brainer that should have tipped us off a long time ago that we probably need to recognize the difference in our machines. I, by the way, say this all the time, but I highly recommend checking out the works of Dr. Stacey Sims, especially from ovulators. In her first book, Roar, the first two chapters break down an easily digestible, super fun nerdy detail, just how different our bodies are from men. From recovery time to essential fat percentages, dominant muscle fiber types to skeletal anatomy and so much more. And to my peri and postmenopause ladies, she's got you with her book, Next Level. Point is, I could talk all day and all night and then some more probably about how different our bodies are from men, but that is not the point of today's podcast. Today, we're talking about periods. Well, our menstrual cycle and how that affects our training. Or doesn't. Just to recap before we get into the nitty gritty for all my ovulators out there, our menstrual cycle, it's so much more than our period. Our period is just a part of our menstrual cycle. It's a cycle we're moving through all month-ish, 25 to 32-ish days long, where our hormones dance along in this lovely rise and decline cycle that preps our body for pregnancy and then makes plans accordingly depending on whether or not we find ourselves with kiddo after we ovulate. The average length of a menstrual cycle, and like I said, average, not the normal one-size-fit-all, is around 28 days. Like I said, totally varies for different women, and our goal in our ovulatory years when we're most fertile is to have regular periods, trackable pretty much to the day, which is why it's so important to track our cycle. And I'll talk a little bit more about that, but later, before I put a pin in it, if there are irregularities with your period, it can be a really good initial sign that there's something underlying going on. And it can also be a sign if you've had really normal or trackable or repeatable, or your periods look the same for a long time and suddenly it doesn't anymore. It can also be a look and hint that you are entering into perimenopause, or like I said, something's wrong. So it's a good thing to know so we can get it checked out no matter what it is. Anywho, like I said, put a pin in that. Back to our cycles. I first heard about treating our cycle like the four seasons probably like 3 or 4 years ago from my girl Erin Holt, and then deep dived into just how accurate this relationship is in Maisie Hill's book, Period Power, which if you were born with a uterus, please read this book. To me, not only does thinking of my period seasonally helped me understand my body and my emotions a lot easier, it also makes me feel more powerful, and it connects me to nature and to my body, because there is nothing more natural than to cycle the seasons, the moon, our period, our menstrual cycle. But if your childhood sex education was anything like mine, learning about your period was essentially being told, hey, you're going to be real gross every single month. So make sure you can do everything you can to keep clean, stink a little less, and please, for the love of God, try not to embarrass yourself by talking about it. And that might not have been the exact verbiage, but that is definitely how it stuck with me for many, many years. Just total shame until I got into comedy and then the butt of a joke because I could make people really uncomfortable by talking about it. And now I just want everyone to talk about it comfortably because it's so important and so beautiful and incredible. Anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. What's nuts is I went my entire life until I was 30 without knowing that my menstrual cycle had phases. Not to mention all the other things that I didn't know, like the fact that we have different discharges throughout the month that can help us know when we're most fertile. I didn't have any information on what the age was happening with my hormones, how to know if I was ovulating, or that the 5 days leading up to ovulation are the most important to track to get pregnant. And that's just to name, again, very few on a long list of amazing things about our female sex hormones. So if you're like me and you're just starting to learn about the phases of your period as an adult, welcome. It is wonderful. I promise I'm going to get into talking about training, but this is important to know before we dive in because it's going to affect my answer on how/if we should train according to our cycle. So we have two main phases in our menstrual cycle: follicular, which starts on day one of our period and ends around ovulation, and then luteal, which starts after we ovulate or around ovulation and lasts until the day before our first bleed. When we talk seasonally about our cycle, winter is the first part of our follicular phase when we are menstruating. Spring is the second part of our follicular phase in our lead up to ovulation. Summer is the time around our ovulation, and fall is full blown luteal phase and lead up to our menstruation. I will def be doing a pod in the future on our four seasons, but for today, this is your breakdown. Winter, we're bleeding. Spring, our build up to ovulation. Summer, our ovulatory window. Fall, lead up to bleed. Again, watered down version. So now, the $1 million question. Should I train differently on different phases of my cycle? And the short answer is, we sure don't have to. As I mentioned, I didn't know I phased each month until I was 30. I spent the first 7 years training, not shifting anything about my programming and my training program, I should say, according to my cycle. But I also spent those first 7 years confused AF why sometimes I was freaking Rocky level montage champion, and then other days I just wanted to stay hidden under my comforter and not make eye contact, let alone deadlift. And as we are oft conditioned to do, rather than consider there may be something natural and hormonally related to this, I blamed myself, and I would think that I was lazy or weak or worry I was losing my gains, or on good days, worried I was coming down with mono. The other way it really effed with my head was body image-wise. I've talked a little bit about my eating disorder on this podcast, but the takeaway here is I was already prone to bouts of dysmorphia, but I hear it with clients all the time. I would get so discouraged and hyper-fixated on how I looked when 1 week my abs would be out in full force and my sleeves ripped a little when I flexed, which might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but still, that's how I felt. And then some days, suddenly I felt like I was carrying around a perma-food baby and nothing had changed. The point is here, I just had no idea what was happening in my body. And without that knowledge, I ended up, again, blaming myself. Since starting to track my period, especially the Maisie Hill way of one-ish words a day to describe how I feel, things have really changed. I still don't necessarily adjust my own training phase to phase, but it does give me a compassionate understanding of why I'm prone to feel invincible around ovulation. And like the mere thought of living is hard at the start of my period. Not only does that take the blame off of me, it also allows me to feel compassion and to adjust if necessary. If I'm on day 25 to 2 of my cycle, it isn't a bad idea for me personally to skip the hit and stick to slower strength training. Or heck, now I give myself full-blown permission to take rest days during the first 2 days of my period. The cool thing is, everybody's body is different. Our tracking and tracking our cycles, rather, is the key to working with our unique body and understanding what works best for it. I have worked with hundreds or thousands. I've worked with many women over the years, and some of them feel fine training similarly all month long, and some experience major fatigue, cramping, insomnia around their cycle, and some feel pain during their ovulation. We just all feel things differently, so it works. Different things work for different folks. Sometimes people prefer to slow down and focus on gentle movements like yoga and mobility. And sometimes it's important to honor that rest day. I will never tell a woman or human not to lift on their period, but I am always going to encourage you to listen to and work with your body. So if you're strength training, maybe that looks like slightly longer rest periods and letting go of chasing PRs if you're feeling wrecked. Giving ourselves permission to slow down is a beautiful thing. Remember, fitness, health, say it with me, it's a lifelong journey. If you are a competitor or an athlete and are on a deadline, that's a whole different can of worms. And there are plenty of other podcasts and coaches out there for you. And I'm cheering you on. Go get it, sis. But on this here podcast, I'm talking about the person who's working out sustainably for the long haul. So that's my short answer. You don't have to. No, you don't have to adjust your training around your period, but tracking your period allows wiggle room and gives yourself permission to rest and pull back when you need to. My slightly longer answer is, if you want to, eyebrow wiggle, let's talk a little bit about optimizing our workouts around our cycle. If you are new to fitness or newly back, don't worry about this just yet. My goal for you is to stay consistent with workouts, period, looking at 2 to 3 days of strength training per week for 30 plus minutes. But if you have been at it a while and are interested in mixing things up or trying something new, here we go. Let's talk about using the seasonal model. Starting with our winter, aka the start of our menstrual cycle that begins on the first day of our bleed. Our hormones in winter be low at this phase, as in at their absolute lowest. And chances are you're probably feeling somewhere between bloated and crampy, to fatigued, to overwhelmed, maybe even just full-blown anxious, and just a whole bunch of other meh things. The point is, more often than not, it is so common to feel low energy during this phase. As I mentioned, I personally like to take rest days on the first 2 days of my period. I'm generally 50 shades of tired in the heaviest part of my flow, and if I could, I would take 2 rest days from the world at this point. But as I mentioned, other women I've worked with prefer to work out during this period. I have a few clients who enjoy weightlifting or machine strength, and a whole lot who love gentle yoga flows and have actually found it really helpful for cramps. I do have a lovely period flow or period cramp flow on my YouTube channel that I'll go ahead and drop in the show notes for you to check out if that's something that you experience. Allow yourself to rest during this phase if that feels right for you. Rest days, remember, are that act of self-love. And on top of allowing our body to reset and push harder, or they also allow us to reset our body and push harder on our work days. And a side note reminder, we should be taking rest days anyway. I personally take 2 every week. I recommend more if you're new. Point is, why not plan them around when you're going to feel like hot garbage? So whip out that period tracking, see when the first 2 days of your cycle are if you're like me, and plan your work days around resting on those days. I love how Maisie Hill talks about our winter. She says, winter is where your energy draws inward, and that can make physical activity feel like hard work. So don't squander the energy that you do have. Focus it on whatever you deem as important. On the other hand, if exercise makes you happy, it can be a lovely way to release some feel-good hormones, but be easy on yourself. It's super normal to feel slightly uncoordinated, heavier, slower, sluggish even. Maybe opt for slightly shorter workouts or longer rest breaks, or even replace your lift with some walking and or a yoga. And again, be gentle. If your body feels like resting, please rest. And I'm going to add personally, I am also prone to lightheadedness during this phase, especially on heavier periods. So again, make sure to listen to your body. And to play devil's advocate, as I mentioned before, I did spend a long time not adjusting to my winter phase. I did HIIT and I did powerlifting and I didn't die. I felt like a wet old shoe, but I didn't die. And now I will say I do love the permission to rest. And by day 3, when I'm back in my routine, I feel rested and I feel ready to go. Okay, winter. Good night. Talk about spring. During our spring, as we head towards ovulation, this magical little thing happens. Well, magical for me, I understand not for everybody, but our estrogen is on the rise. Maisie Hill refers to our estrogen as our Beyonce hormone, and I love this for a lot of reasons. First off, estrogen truly makes us motherfudging superheroes, and we need to learn to appreciate this because it goes the way of the dinos as we transition through perimenopause and menopause. And again, I do want to call out, for those of us that are estrogen dominant, too much of a good thing can be beyond miserable. I have several clients with endometriosis and PCOS and fibroids, and it's at its worst, nothing short of debilitating. So if you experience pain at any stage of your cycle, please, please, please reach out to your OBGYN. Pain is not normal. Okay. For the balanced ovulator, estrogen helps us stay insulin sensitive, protects our heart health, increases our feel-good hormones, makes us social and glowing. Literally, we become more magnetic with the rise of estrogen because nature is trying to get us pregnant. And it helps to build and maintain lean muscle, which is one of the many reasons it is so imperative to start building muscle while we're still ovulating, because it becomes harder to build and maintain into perimenopause and beyond. A lot of us also find ourselves to feel more energetic and outgoing during this phase. So this is a great phase of our cycle to push our limits. Whether you're crushing it in a HIIT class, adding weight to your lifts, or just using that sweet, sweet estrogen to help build that lean muscle mass, it's also a great time to start a new exercise routine because we have that natural energy and a motivation boost. Kicking it to Maisie again, she says in her book, Period Power, your spring is when you have a higher tolerance for endurance and pain. Your uptake of oxygen is increased and you also recover better. So it's when you can make a lot of training progress. Thank you very much, estrogen. Another fun perk of spring and into summer, this is when we be feeling ourselves. So shirtless, flexing selfies galore, or whatever you do to feel good. Anywho, so let's talk summer. Estrogen reaches its peak and causes testosterone to rise right before we ovulate. And yes, we do have testosterone. And the combo of these puppies can make us feel invincible, sexy AF, down to clown. As Aaron Holt puts it, ovulating feels like putting on that sexy summer dress and partying. Because biologically, with our egg dropping, this is when our body does the most to get us pregnant. And part of that is making us want to mingle and go out and be social, even if it doesn't necessarily present that way for us. Personally, I love me some ovulating. I feel strong. I feel sexy. I low-key wish I could live there. And I also recognize that not everyone feels that way. And that is okay. Honor how you feel. Always. Also, again, if you feel pain during your ovulatory window, please get that checked out. Yeah, remember, pain is not normal. It means something's going on. Do your beautiful body a favor and go ahead and talk to someone about that because you deserve to feel amazing. In terms of training, that first half of summer when estrogen and testosterone are at their peaks, PR, baby. This is when we push it to the max if we want to. But please pay special attention to form because certain studies have shown that we're slightly more prone to injury during this time. In the last half of your summer, first half of summer, party, y'all. Just enjoy that energy. When it feels good, it feels so good. Last half of our summer, after ovulation, estrogen starts to drop and our progesterone starts to increase. So if estrogen is our go out and get it hormone, progesterone is our sleepy, stay home, feel good, get cozy hormone. Its job is to slow us down and to more or less introvert us to keep our body safe in case we got pregnant during ovulation. In terms of training, it may feel good to follow that and slow down as well and lean into that slower strength training modality. Maisie suggests switching to low impact cardio to maximize the sweat factory to release any excess estrogen. I'm here for that as well, but personally, I think it's incredibly important to continue weight training in this phase and as progesterone continues to rise, because where estrogen helps us build our muscles, progesterone has a more catabolic effect and can actually cause the breakdown of muscle tissue. So staying on top of maintaining muscle mass, for my two cents, is incredibly important in this phase and as we enter into fall. So for end of summer and fall, it probably won't feel great to go hard in the paint without estrogen cheering us on. So focusing on those proper strength days, thinking heavier weights, fewer reps, and longer breaks. Those are ideal for both meeting us where we're at and maintaining and building that lean muscle mass. When fall hits, that's when our hormones start to decline into that low hormone phase we experience during menstruation. It is incredibly common to feel all sorts of ways during this time. Can you say hello, PMS? As Aaron Holt puts it, I'm not a bee during this time. I'm just discerning. I love that. I'm not a bee. I'm just discerning. And we are. But this is all happening because our hormones are plummeting. And aside from the start of our period where exercise feels the hardest, especially if we experience symptoms of PMS, which I'm not going to go into now, but again, similar with pain, if you have big reactions to this phase, whether it's cramps, mood swings, etc., definitely talk to your OBGYN. Societally, we have normalized feeling like garbage during this phase, but the truth is we really shouldn't be in pain or completely miserable. These are signs of underlying issues and are well worth exploring and getting sorted out, especially before we get into that perimenopause phase. But here's the deal, and you know I'm going to kick it to Maisie again. She says, whatever you do or whatever you can do in terms of exercise, just do it. Movement gets your energy flowing, and a lot of unpleasant side effects of your premenstruum, physically and emotionally, can be about your energy getting stuck. Plus, studies have found that regular exercise greatly reduces symptoms of PMS and that low levels of physical activity correlate to the incidence of PMS. So I'm not saying go rock an hour-long HIIT class, y'all, but I am saying maybe if it feels okay, stick to that strength training program. And remember, during this time, showing up and getting it in is beyond good enough. You don't need to lift your heaviest. You don't need to run your fastest. You don't need to do 185 burpees on the minute every minute. I just need you to show up. This is the time that we get to practice consistency and resiliency and protect that precious lean muscle mass while releasing some endorphins. Be gentle with yourself here. All joking aside, because there's also a pretty darn good chance that we're going to be hard on ourselves during this phase. Tracking our periods, another big plus to this is that it gives us a heads up after a while to know that this phase is on its way, so we can plan accordingly, both with compassion and permission to slow down. By the end of our fall, when our hormones are low, right before we bleed, it may feel good to switch back to those gentle movements we talked about for winter, like walking, yoga, and mobility. You aren't failing. I swear you're not losing your gains. You are taking care of yourself and building a relationship you can sustain forever. And I'm going to go just a little off script because I follow a woman who I totally love, and normally we see totally eye to eye, and she did a post about how we shouldn't, in fact, train according to our periods because it'll take us out of our consistent training pattern. Or basically she was saying if we train according to our period, we lose valuable training time. And again, nobody has to do anything they don't want to do. And if you're doing something like a competitor or athlete, obviously you don't necessarily have the grace period that someone who's training for lifelong sustainability does because you've just got these performances ahead of you. However, when we pull out and look at our lives from that 30,000 foot view, taking 5, 8, even 10 days of gentler movement is not going to ruin your health. In fact, I feel like building this compassion really sets up this understanding with our bodies that we are taking care of it according to its needs. And for a lot of my clients before, they wouldn't work out at all during these 10 days, right? Being able to bring something like mobility and yoga and gentle walking actually sustains their movement, because instead of going, I'm just too tired to go to the gym, we get to go, oh, but wait, we have these other supportive exercises and movements that do feel okay and doable during this time. So I would even argue that for a lot of us, allowing ourselves to toggle between things like mobility and yoga on training phases where we feel like poo-poo actually keeps us in the game more than if we are like, I'm either going hard or I'm not going at all. Okay, well, that was a rant. So if I totally lost you, come back in. And before I hit the recap, I do have to point out that if you're on hormonal birth control, things get a little bit wonky when it comes to talking about training on your menstrual cycle, because you aren't technically ovulating. The periods you're having are withdrawal bleeds. And I'm not an expert at this at all, so I'm going to tell you that I highly recommend checking out Maisie Hill's Period Power book, or listening to any podcast with Dr. Jolene Brighton, or checking out her book, Beyond the Pill. But this very watered down version, just to start getting you thinking about it, is that your hormones are more or less shut off during your cycle, since our cycle is controlled primarily by the release of an egg each month. So my big piece of advice, if you are on a hormone or a hormonal birth control, my big piece of advice to you is if you don't understand what's going on internally when you take the pill or have a hormonal IUD, etc., I recommend learning a little bit more. I had no idea what was happening to my body, and I took birth control for a little over 10 years. My doctor certainly did not sit me down when I was 15 to tell me about how fudged my ovulatory cycle was going to be. Zero shade to birth control, by the way. I love that ovulators have control and say over their bodies. But as always, I 10 out of 10 recommend educating yourself. There are a lot of brilliant women out there who can teach you all about what is happening to your body on hormonal birth control, so you can adjust and make decisions according to information. To recap, back to what we were talking about. Seasons, training, winter. Chill, baby, chill. Maybe rest days, maybe yoga, walking, mobility, maybe straight up napping as a sport. Spring, estrogen is on the rise, so let's ride the wave. Start something new or tear it up with HIIT training or powerlifting. Embrace the muscle-supporting benefits of estrogen and clock that lean muscle mass. Summer, we got part one, seize the freaking day. You can do anything as long as you are loving on that form. Chase your PRs and enjoy that best life. Part two of our summer, embrace slowing down a bit. Lean into strength training with heavier weights, lower reps, and longer breaks. And in fall, be gentle. Be gentle, be gentle to yourself, and stick with your strength training. Remember, something is good enough. We are protecting our muscles here and exercising to release endorphins to ease PMS and feel a little less crazy. Towards the end of our fall, feel free to slow down all the way to zero if you want. And remember, you also don't have to do any of this. As always, it is your body, your rules, and I support what you choose for you because you, at the end of the day, know you best. You never have to change a single thing about your training if you don't want to. Although, if you aren't strength training, please, 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 please start that. But isn't it cool just to learn how amazingly intricate our bodies are? I mean, these poor dudes, right? They stay on the same rinse and repeat cycle every 24 hours, and we get to adventure to new heights and experience the world at 100% and then take it down and introvert into our deepest selves, working in that beautiful intuitive space. Women are pure power. And my goal today was to hopefully shine insight into one way you can play around with optimizing your power through training. Other cool things we can optimize when we track our cycle? So happy you asked. Work output, social engagements, sexual health, libido, intuition and connection to our inner self, manifestation practices, connection to nature, connection to fellow women, sleep, metabolism, and so much more. All right, you dang powerhouse, go off and live your best life. And as always, thank you beyond thank you for taking time to listen to today's podcast. If you got something out of it, it would mean the world to me if you like, reviewed, and shared with a friend or loved one you know would benefit from today's topic. This saucy little pod is a one-lady operation. Hey, that's me. And the only way it can grow and spread right now is through word of mouth. Oh, and the algorithm favoring well-rated shows. So please, it would mean so much if you took 5 seconds to leave a 5-star review. And if it's less than 5 stars, maybe just find another podcast that you love because there's so many out there. And if you have a hot second, a written review would straight up make my day. Speaking of, today's review comes from Car Care titled Obsessed. P.S. I'm already obsessed with you, Car Care. They say, this podcast is what I've been needing. Kinsey knows so much and can explain things in a way where I'm like, oh, I get it. She debunks myths, teaches about our bodies, and is so positive. Keep these episodes coming. My stars, Car Care, you are my GD hero, and coming, these episodes shall be. Thank you again to everyone who listened today. As always, if you have any cues of your own that you would love discussed on the podcast, shoot me an email at kinsey@raiderfitacademy.com, and I will answer them on an upcoming podcast. I adore you all. I can't say enough. You rock. Until next time, Raiders. Aroo!